Hello, everybody. Thanks for dialing in to our Q1 call. Before we dive into the presentation, I have to draw your attention to the warning on forward-looking statements on the first slide. I'll take you through just one slide of overview, and then Paul will go into the numbers in more detail. So on slide three, by way of highlights, I'm pleased to report another strong quarter for Coral Group. EBITDA was 14% ahead of last year, with all divisions showing growth. Obviously, that was despite some significant regulatory impacts, and if you adjust for those impacts, EBITDA was 59% ahead of last year on an underlying basis. And of course, football results contributed significantly to that result. Other than football results, the other key driver was online. EBITDA in online was 55% ahead of last year at a headline level. And on an underlying basis, that's adjusting for place consumption tax, just under three times the level of EBITDA that we saw last year in the same period, with 194% underlying growth. Whilst online was the key driver, as I said earlier, we also made very positive progress in both of the retail divisions as well, which is good to see. The CMA inquiry is proceeding in line with the timetable that we have set out previously, and the next step in that process is the provisional findings that we expect to see sometime in April. As you know, we sold Gala Retail, or completed the sale of Gala Retail, in the quarter with a price of $241 million that we used to pay down our debt. Current trading continues to be positive, with, in particular, ongoing momentum in the online division. Paul.
Thanks, Carl. I'll just run through the group numbers briefly on slide five. Net revenue for the group was up 16% for the 16 weeks, with good performances across each division. It's worth noting that our 16-week quarter does include the year-on-year benefit of the bounce-back in football margins for the weekend of the 16th, 17th of January, whereas competitor results issued recently do not, and this obviously helps contribute to our growth. Cost of sales increased by 31%, but 60% of that increase was a result of the incremental tax, point of consumption and MGD. Appendix 2 of the press release sets out the actual regulatory and tax impacts by division for both FY16 and FY15. Marketing costs have increased by 32% online, but have helped, as Carl has referenced, drive a 41% increase in online net revenue and a 55% increase in online reported EBITDA. Op costs for the group are up 6%, leaving reported EBITDA for the group up 14%. However, if we turn to the bridge on slide 6, you will see that, as we've done before, we have rebased the prior year, so FY15 Q1, as if the tax and regulatory changes have been in place for the whole of that quarter, as they have been for the whole of Q1 FY16. This reduces the FY15 Q1 result by 15.2 million to leave it at 39.3. And building from that, we have then achieved 23.1 million of underlying growth, of which 14.1 million came from a reversal of the poor football weekends we suffered in the UK in Q1 FY15. Corporate costs were 1.4 million higher, but this was as a result of lower VAT rebates in the quarter compared to FY15, and not as a result of a larger cost base. Turning to the divisions then, and starting with Coral Retail on slide 7. It was a decent quarter for Coral Retail, characterised by OTC stakes increase, OTC margin improvement, and a decent machines performance, offsetting the impact of incremental MGD and the impact of the £50 staking regulations, as well as slightly higher costs. OTC margin was up 1.5 percentage points at 18.2%, driven by a significant increase in football margins, which were up 7.9 percentage points, but were still nearly 4 percentage points below the 5-year average. This was despite the reversal of customer favourable margins on Boxing Day in FY15 and the 16th-17th January weekend last year, as I mentioned. However, the 14th-15th of November was the 7th worst weekend in the last 10 years of football results, despite there being no English Premier League fixtures. Machine's performance was pleasing despite a 5% reduction in gross win caused by the effective reduction of maximum staking levels to £50, and that seems to be the level at which this is now stuck at. Slots games, however, continue to drive decent growth. Cost of sales includes £6 million of incremental MGD costs, which will annualise in Q2. Operating costs increased by 4% and will probably be around the sort of 3%, maybe slightly higher for the full year, driven by staff costs and higher than normal level of rent reviews, as well as in Q1 having a higher level of average number of shops. We now turn to Eurobet on slide 8. A really strong quarter for Eurobet, despite starting the quarter, as you may remember from our full year results at the end of November last year, with awful football margins, but nonetheless ended up with net revenue up 36% and increased market share by 2.4 percentage points to 16.1%. Stakes growth improved by 36%, or 43% sorry, on a constant currency basis, and the gross win margin was nearly 6 percentage points better across the quarter, as football results bounced back very strongly in the latter half of November, December and the first half of January. Nonetheless, just as in Coral Retail, football margins were still behind expectations for the quarter. Cost of sales increased by 30%, but it's worth mentioning that cost of sales in Eurobet retail not only includes betting duties, but also includes payments to franchisees, as Eurobet retail operates on a franchise model. Operating costs were flat to leave EBITDA up 132%, or £2.9 million. The increase in depreciation in the quarter reflects the write-down of some of the assets in the shop optimization program, which is now complete. Turning then to online, on slide number 9, we saw continued momentum in the online division with net revenue increase of 41% across the three websites. Coral.co.uk net revenue increased 69%, with sports revenue up 173% and gaming up 34%. This was driven by good increase in the number of active players and indeed sports spend per head. Improved football results on the bad weekends in FY15 Q1 contributed around about £3 million of the EBITDA growth. Marketing in Coral as a percentage of NGR was actually lower than in Q1 FY15, but slightly higher than the 26% we disclosed for the full year FY15. And I would expect a range of about 26 to 27% for the full year FY16, so pretty comparable with some of our peer group. The Gala websites continue to show decent growth, with actives up 10% and spend per head up 5%. But it's fair to say that that marketplace has seen an increased level of competition for acquisition in particular during Q1. And Eurobet.it has had a very strong first quarter, with exceptional actives and spend per head growth. The sports-led sites of Coral.co.uk and Eurobet.it had sports net revenue of 44% and gaming net revenue of 56% compared to a 30-70 split in Q1 of last year. And finally, turning to the cash flow on slide 10, It was a strong cash flow quarter with an improvement of just under 16 million year on year, driven by increased EBITDA and timing benefits in working capital that are permanent, driven by the different duty payment mechanisms that are now in place. CapEx was flat year on year, and we anticipate spending between 55 and 60 million for the full year, in line with last year. Depreciation and amortisation will be at a similar level as the CapEx. As Carl mentioned, we've used the bingo proceeds and some surplus cash we had on the balance sheet to make debt repayments of 327 million, leading to an outflow for the quarter of 343.4 million. Net debt was 827 million at the end of the quarter. Now, just before we go to the Q&A, can I just draw your attention to the KPIs and calendar year EBITDA charts we've put on Appendix 1 of the press release that may be helpful for modelling purposes. We will be putting up on our website before Easter a refresh of the last 3 years' KPIs, including net revenue, on a calendar year basis, and we'll let you know when that is up on the site. I'll now hand back to Steve, who will coordinate the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. And a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. And your first question comes from the line of Niles Dacia from Ares. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, I've just got a clarification. On slide 6 where you have your EBITDA bridge, you start with the Q1 15 EBITDA and you adjust for the regulatory 15.2 million. Should that give you your FY15 Q1 adjusted? Because it says Q4 FY14 on it.
It does. That's a very good spot, and somebody will get a slap straight off.
That wasn't the intention, but I just wanted to make sure.
You're absolutely right. Well spotted. Yes, we apologize for that.
That's okay. That's fine. Thank you. That makes sense now. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vaughan Lewis from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, afternoon guys. I've got a couple if that's right. So, firstly, on retail, the OTC staking levels are up a bit, which seems to be despite a slight reduction in the estate size. Do you think that's a sustainable trend now, and what do you think is driving it, and how much of that is coming from SSBTs? And then secondly, on online, can you just expand on your comments about the reduction in player churn rates? And how much they're coming down and what's driving that. And then as a result of that, are you seeing lifetime values go up? Thanks.
I'll take OTC stakes. We did get off to a strong start with OTC stakes at the beginning of the year. However, they have settled back to be flat to slightly down on a like-for-like basis, sort of in line with their normal run rate. So no, I wouldn't expect to see ongoing OTC stakes growth through the rest of the year. In terms of the role of SSBTs, we're at about 2,000 at the moment. We're rolling out a further 500. Sorry, that's our fire alarm, which is helpful. Right, good, it's gone. we'll be at 2,500 shortly. I mean, our experience of SSBTs is positive overall. We see much higher rates of cannibalisation outside of London, but in London the numbers that we see through the machines are strongly additive. Our belief is that a measured growth, a measured increase in SSBTs will help to underpin OTC staking levels or sports staking levels, if you like. but we're not at the point where we want to explode the availability of machines in all of our shops. So, I mean, our experience is actually that in some shops it can either be neutral or even negative because of the level of cannibalisation after taking into account rev share. So we are a little bit more measured than Ladbrokes, for instance, but a lot more bullish than Hills, probably about halfway in between. Do you want to...
I'll do Churnbourne. I mean, I think we've said before that, you know, Coral.co.uk obviously Connect does drive more loyal customers who are three times more valuable, and as a result of you know, playing both online and offline, are stickier, and therefore we have seen you know, reductions in churn. And it's not huge in Coral.co.uk, but certainly continuing the trend that we disclosed in the full year 15 results. And in Gala Bingo, where I think we have one or two slightly more sophisticated models, again we've continued to see churn improve. You know, again, it's marginal, but small reductions in churn, you know, do tend to have a decent impact on player lifetime values, you pointed to. We did produce quite a lot of data at the end of 15, and we'll probably do that on a half-yearly basis rather than quarterly. Movements can be a little bit meaningless quarterly, but nonetheless, the direction of travel is still good.
That's very helpful, thanks. And just one final one while I'm on. With the net debt being below the 865 million level, will it still be delivered to Ladbrokes with 865 million, or is that the lower figure now?
Well, we tend to have an outflow during this next quarter, so I'd expect it you know, to be around the 865 level, and it's not just about the net debt, it's the working capital as well. So we'll probably see we would expect to see a working capital outflow in Q2. So a work on the basis of 865.
Great, thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Ronan Clark from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just a quick one on Eurobet, please. How much are you budgeting for shop and corner license renewals? And given the timing, I'm guessing it's not in the guidance you gave for CapEx for 55 to 60 million?
No, it's not in that guidance, so it'll be separate to that. And we have some clarity around when the tender might take place, but it's still a bit of a movable feast because there are various consultations going on between national government and local government as to potential consistency of local laws between all the regions, and that is happening during the month of March. Now, if that gets concluded, then it's possible that the tender will happen in the second half of calendar 16. If it doesn't, the authorities have the ability to extend the licences from the 30th of June to the 31st of December. And we've said that we anticipate somewhere between I'd say around sort of 35 to 40 million euros, something of that order.
I think it's very unlikely that that there'll be any outflow related to the tender this calendar year. And if at all, we believe it will be towards the end of this calendar year. And whilst Paul is absolutely right, the terms of the licences were allowed an extension to the 31st of December, 2016, actually the terms of the stability law allows a further extension until those geographical restrictions can be agreed with the regional authorities across Italy, which is no mean feat.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So this could actually roll on for quite some time, is our view.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very helpful.
Your next question from the line of Ed Birkin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, afternoon. Just a couple for me. Can you quickly run through what you expect the normalised gross win margin ranges to be for your respective divisions, in particular UK retail? And then secondly, with regards to the sale of Gala Retail, are Caledonia committed to keeping the Gala brand.
Do you want to take the second bit first?
Yeah. There is an initial brand license agreement that runs for 18 months with options to renew from both sides. So that's the current situation with Caledonia. In terms of normalised gross win margins,
yeah, you'd expect 17.5% to 18% in Coral Retail, 7% to 8% in Coral.co.uk, and Eurobet Retail would be low, sort of 20 to 21, something of that order.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
No further questions at this time. But again, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. You have a question from the line of Gavin Kelleher from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, guys. Just two for me. In the retail estate, I see some shop closures in the quarter. Any plans for further closures this year, and how does that fit into the whole CMA process? And just on online, you hinted that in gaming, I think a bit of increased competition around actives recently. Can you just give some update on sports betting and competition in the UK market at the moment, whether there's been any change, etc.?
Whether there's been any change in sports betting competition recently?
Yes.
Not discernible. I mean, obviously we had some new entrants, particularly Betway, earlier last year and late the year before. But other than that, I mean, Unibet Sports, Stan James, so maybe we'd expect a bit of uptick there. BetVictor's been a little bit more active, but nothing huge, I would say.
And on shop closures, Gavin, I mean, we haven't given a specific number. You're right, there have been some closures in Q1, but they were planned anyway, and we just continue as normal, regardless of the CMA process. And I would expect maybe the same sort of level again across the rest of the financial year.
Perfect. Thanks a million, Paul. Thanks, Carl.
No worries.
There are no further questions, but if you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one, on the telephone.
Okay, Steve, if there's no further questions, just say thank you to everybody for dialing in, and speak to you again in 12 weeks' time.